Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines, and welcome to the Aging in Place podcast. I am here today with Ryan Hurd, and I'm very excited to have you today, straight from the CES conference in Las Vegas. Ryan, I'm thrilled to be able to talk with you, and I'd like to learn a little bit about your background, number one. Number two, about the CES conference. And number three, I think a congratulations are in order.
Hey, Dr. Debbie, well, thank you for having us on. I really appreciate it. So let's start by unpacking those questions. Who am I? I'm actually Ryan Hurd. I'm known as the smart guy. I've been in smart tech and IoT for 29 years. I literally wrote the book on it called Join the Smart Home Revolution. And I've been in the tech industry for all my life. I'm a techie. I kind of love this stuff.
Now, how did you get into that? How did you get into that area of being known as, I like it, I'm known as the smart guy.
Yeah, Ryan Hurd, the smart guy, because I wrote the book. So I wrote the book called Join the Smart Home Revolution, and it was really to fix or answer that fundamental question, which is, what is smart home and how can it help me as a human? You know, the one issue with the technology industry is we make a lot of widgets and gadgets, but how can it actually help me as a human? So I started to answer that question. And because of that, I've also worked with some of the top companies like Sony and Realogy Group, which is Coldwell Banker, and Home Advisor. I helped them start up their smart home division. So, yeah. And I also had an integration firm called One Sound Choice. And what we did is smart technology for high net worth, high profile individuals all over the U.S.
And, you know, I want to get right into it. I still want to go back and talk a little bit about your kids and your life, because it's pretty fascinating. You have, it sounds like you have a nice self-care and a nice balanced life. But to get right to the point, one of the things that intrigued me when I first talked to you, and because I'm older and I'm grandmother of nine, almost 10, I'm really curious when it comes to aging in place and the home. The more research I do and the more data I have gathered, the more I realize that a lot of the products that are for aging adults, if you will, or people who have special needs, acute illnesses, aren't really user friendly. And it was so fun for me to talk to you, because that was the first thing out of your mouth, is oftentimes people who manufacture these things don't really think in terms of universal design or humans.
That's the big problem. And I don't mean to beat up on anybody. Again, I'm a techie. I love technology. I just got back from CES, and that's the Super Bowl of technology. Now, with that said, I've been spending a lot of time out in Silicon Valley, as well as over here in New York and NJIT. And there's a lot of really smart people. I mean, they are doing amazing things. And they're building and designing things that are going to be incredible for when I get older. Where they lack is they don't understand the consumer or the person that's going to use it today. For example, when we're talking about, let's say, the greatest generation, people that are approaching 100 years old, you know, 1928 and older is when they were born, you know, they're technologically adverse. It's all about, they don't want to be spied on. It's their belief system is, you know, we're going to meet somebody, we're going to get married, we're going to buy a house, we're going to have kids, we're going to live in that house, we're going to die in that house, and we're never, ever, ever going to be a burden to anybody else. So that's what we do see, is there's people that are trying to just take all these smart home gadgets and put it in mom's house, but mom doesn't need a smart lock, she doesn't need a smart thermostat, she doesn't need an alarm. What she needs is to know that somebody's got their back.
And you know, that's, it's really funny because my mom and dad moved in 3 years ago. We lost my mom, but my dad's 91, 92. And it's exactly what you say is true. They want their life to be the same as it always has been, but they have so many more restrictions now. And right. I also think, for my dad at least, he doesn't want to feel special. He doesn't want to feel like he's a burden on anyone.
Right.
He wants
right.
to be as independent as he can. So what does that mean in terms of technology?
Well, independence, you said it, right? So let's think about it. Remember when you got your first car and you were independent for the first time? You left home. This was the first time you were able to be on your own. Nobody was next to you. You know, we've been craving it. We finally got it. Now, you're not going to give that up, right? You want your independence for as long as possible. And that's why what we've seen is those that are 65 and older, more than 85% of them want to live at home alone and independent. So the question is, how do we as caregivers, how do we enable that? How do we give them the ability to be independent, live at home, and yet reduce our stress? Because being a caregiver, it's stressful, it's time consuming, and it's isolating.
Yes, it is.
So what we've done, the new company I have called Caregiver Smart Solutions, is just that. We're answering that fundamental question, which is, how are they doing? Right? We're enabling your loved one to live home longer while reducing your stress. Because as I said before, being a caregiver, it's stressful, time consuming, and isolating. So let me tell you what we're not. We're not a camera, right? Okay. Because cameras are invasive. You don't want a camera in your home. I don't want a camera in my home.
Well, what's funny about that is my dad has flat out refused it. Don't be right. spying on me. I'm not spying. I just want to make sure if you're fallen or you're slipped or you can't do this or that, that you're covered.
Exactly. And that's actually the first thing I did when my father had cancer. I put a camera in and he put a dish towel right over it. So that wasn't going to work. So the second thing that we're not trying to change your loved one's habit. I don't know. Have you ever tried to change a habit of an 80-year-old?
Yeah, it's not pretty.
I can't even change my own habits, right? So that's not going to happen. Number three, we're not a wearable, because the reality is they're not wearing them. They're not charging them up. And you have to understand, as I said before, there's a psychological aspect. And what I mean by that is, it's like me going to my father, Dad, do me a favor. I need you to wear this. And if something happens, you got to push the button. Now, here's where psychology comes in. The reality is I'm working around, I'm dealing with my kids, I'm dealing with this video call, I have other meetings I have to take. I'm not thinking about end of life. But 93-year-old grandma, you know what, she is. And now we're taking this device and saying, if you have a problem, push the button. And she's looking at that as the button of death. And yeah. You have to understand, they don't want that. And we want to enable them, but we don't want to bring that kind of stuff up. So how can we be proactive? And this is what we are. Caregiver Smart Solutions, we take tiny, non-invasive sensors, and we place them discreetly around the home. And what these sensors are monitoring is your loved one's habit, because your habit is an indicator of your health. For example, if mom's habit is that she gets up twice a night to go to the bathroom, fine, green check mark. That's what she always does. But if all of a sudden she starts getting up five times a night, three nights in a row, that's definitely an issue. That's something you want to know, and it could be a urinary tract infection. Now,
exactly.
That's just a little bit of what we do, and we do so much more.
Talk to me a little bit about what is sensor? How does a sensor work? Does it go in the corner of the room? Does it go in different rooms? What am I actually monitoring? Movement? Sound?
So there's a couple of things that our sensors are doing. In the baseline, we're measuring movement. We're measuring things like the refrigerator. We're measuring the medicine cabinet. We're measuring the time it takes mom to walk down the stairs. We're measuring sleep quality. How long has mom been sleeping? It's really important to get, let's say, 5 to 8 hours of sleep.
Correct.
If she's getting up once an hour, every single hour, that could be an issue. Now,
well, it's an issue for cognitive decline.
It's an issue for that. And you know what? We're facilitating the insights through the use of an app. You can see exactly what's going on. And let's say it's that, and you see mom, your loved one got up once an hour for, you know, 4 hours straight. So now when you talk to mom, you can say, hey, how's everything doing? And what is she going to say? It's fine. But now you can say, I saw that you were up a lot last night. And it, you know, it might have just been a bad burrito. I don't know.
How does it actually track? We've got about a minute in this segment. So how does it actually document and track? Is it actually formulating data? Is it journaling for me? Is it sending me a note or an email?
So what we're doing from the fancy side is we've got a bunch of non-invasive sensors mounted throughout the house. And what happens is we're using something called machine learning. Think of that as a record button. So over 2 to 3 weeks, we're recording the habits. So now we have a baseline. We know how your loved one is doing. And then from there, we add something called AI, fancy technology. And what AI is looking for is they're looking for those things that are out of the ordinary. For example, if mom's sleeping later, or if mom is taking longer to get down the stairs, or if mom is not drinking, making her coffee, all these things that are outside of what normal is.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come right back and get into it again. We're talking with Ryan Hurd, and I'm really excited. We're talking about motion sensors. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host Debbie Lines and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place. We're talking with Ryan Hurd. We're talking about motion sensors. More importantly, we're talking about universal design. We're talking about aging in place for absolutely every stage in life. And I'll tell you what's interesting about this is, although we're talking about older adults at this point in time, one of the reasons I wanted to do the podcast, Ryan, is because it's really something that's important for families or folks at any age. I know my daughter has 2 young kids, and when I think about her having motion detectors, I think, or the sensors as you're talking about, I think it would be an amazing opportunity.
And it's interesting because as your daughter is, right? So I'm 48, I've got 3 young boys, and your daughter has kids too, and they call us the sandwich generation, meaning, you know, we have our kids that we're taking care of, as well as we have our aging adults that we're also worried and concerned about. So we're sandwiched right in the middle of that.
It's so very true. Being a psychologist, I do a lot with the sandwich generation. I started out with adolescents, and now I've ended up with the geriatrics, and I think we're sit right in the middle of them. So let's go back and talk about these sensors, and as far as the artificial intelligence piece of that, how this works again.
So the easiest way to explain it is, as I said, so we have 2 main things that go on. We're using machine learning. And again, think of that as the record button. So that's going to record the habits over about 2 weeks' time. And then we're going to get a baseline. Okay. So for example, we'll be able to know that mom is vacuuming every Wednesday because every Wednesday she's going in and out of the rooms, and we can see that. Once we get that baseline, then we can add AI or artificial intelligence on top of that. So for example, let's say we're talking about falls. So envision a Cape Cod. So you have a 2-floor house. Mom's upstairs. She gets up in the morning. She goes to the bathroom. Now these are going to be triggering our sensors. Then she comes out of the bathroom. She goes walking down the hallway, triggers a sensor on the top of the hallway. We know that she takes about 3.5 minutes to walk down the stairs. She's going to trigger the sensor at the bottom of the stairs. Then she's going to walk into the living room because that's the next room that it goes into. She's going to trigger that. Now, it's going to know what her typical time frame is, how long it takes her to get down those stairs. Now, another scenario. Let's say she got up. She went to the bathroom. She got to the top of the stairs. And now, all of a sudden, it's 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes, and she hasn't triggered the sensor on the bottom of the stairs. Where is mom? She's probably laying in the middle of the stairs.
I was just going to say, she's gotten dizzy. She's fallen. Yes.
You take another scenario. She triggers a sensor at the top of the stairs, but then triggers a sensor at the bottom of the stairs 30 seconds later and does not trigger the next sensor, which is living room. What happened?
She's
mom probably
fell
and rolled down the stairs. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of power that we're talking about. And that's just on one thing. So let's take it even farther. Let's talk about dehydration. So technically the closed loop would be things like, I see mom open up the refrigerator. I see mom moving around. I see mom making coffee through the coffee pot, and I see mom going to the bathroom. Well, that's what you expect to happen.
Correct.
If I see mom going into the fridge, walking around, not going to the bathroom, and not making coffee, that could be cause for concern over several days, because that could mean that she's dehydrated. Dehydration, the precursor to a fall, and guess what? We don't want our aging loved ones to fall. That's the power of what we're doing.
So how does this work from a practical point of view? Are you in the actual production? How does someone get this? What would be a fee schedule? It just makes so much sense.
So we have three different kits. I don't know if you can see this.
There you go.
Caregiver Smart Solutions. What we do to make it easy for everybody is we made three different kits. We have the basic kit, deluxe kit, and deluxe plus. Obviously, they can be found on our website, which is caregiversmartsolutions.com. You can give us a call at 888-585-5022. Now, the easiest way to explain it is think of the basic kit.
Okay.
The scenario is we just got out of holiday, right? We had Thanksgiving, we had New Year. So let's say you saw grandma.
Yep.
And this was the first time that you realized that grandma, you know, she's just not as snappy as she used to be. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with her. I'm just
saying that. Okay.
The first time that you're concerned, you get the basic kit. All I want to know is the basics. Is she moving around? Is she eating? Is she taking her meds? And is she going to the bathroom? Just the basics. From there, we can go all the way to the Deluxe Plus kit, which then we're monitoring, obviously, many more things like doors. We're also monitoring things like TV, because if mom's sitting in front of the TV for 5 and 6 hours,
that's
as bad as me saying, I need you to get up and run around the block. They shouldn't be sedentary for that long. We're measuring the coffee pot or tea kettle. We're measuring sleep quality as well as fall detection. So on that kit, that is usually for somebody that maybe there's been an event. Maybe mom has already fallen, or maybe you're really concerned about your loved one. Maybe she's got a bit of dementia.
Dementia.
Right. What's the most important thing when we're talking about dementia? We're talking about A, did a door open up, and B, did she walk out of that door?
Correct.
That is the most important thing.
And
those are the kind of things you want to know.
Well, it's really interesting to me because as a certified aging in place specialist, one of the things I think about all the time are when cost is no object, that's one thing. Okay. Right. I can hire full-time help. I can do this. I can do that. But I think for many of us within the sandwich generation, we don't necessarily live near our loved ones.
Right.
And I think that, you know, there have been such a void in the market for any kind of, I guess, fix in the middle, if you will.
Right.
And more importantly, home health and some of those things are almost cost prohibitive. How do you all play with others in this area, if you will?
So think of us as, A, we're complementary and we're proactive. So all the technology in the market right now is reactive. It's I've fallen, I can't get up. If something happens, push a button. And we're all waiting for impending doom.
Correct.
How about if we got up earlier? So we can start answering that question. As I said before, how are they doing? Now, when we're talking about in-home care, the least expensive that you can get into it for is twice a week, 4 hours a day. And that's only covering 8 hours at $25 an hour.
Correct.
And that costs about $10,400 a year. It's a lot of money. Now, the problem is there's 168 hours in a week. So what happens to that other 160 hours? Well, with a system like ours, you're still getting all of the basic questions that you have answered. And it could be as simple as how many times is mom going to the bathroom? How many times is she opening up the medicine cabinet, the refrigerator? Is she moving around? Those kind of things. We're also complimentary regardless of where mom is living. And what I mean by that is maybe it's a house, maybe it's a townhouse, a condo. Maybe she's in independent living. Maybe she's in assisted living. Because you have to remember, in assisted living, if we have the opportunity to put our loved ones in an assisted living place, and that's a beautiful place, but their business model is that they are really an apartment building with a social aspect, right? They do have nurses on staff, but the responsibility is not to come in and check on mom all the time. Once mom goes into her apartment, once that door is closed, there's now a black hole. Mm-hmm. So we facilitate you knowing how mom's doing, as well as the nurse's aid station to know what's going on.
One of the things that's interesting psychologically is I know for my dad, at least, and for a lot of folks that I know and who have expressed concern with home health or bringing people in, is they don't want strangers in their home. I think, you know, for me at 60, I could care less, bring them in. You know, if somebody's helping me, I'm all over it. But I understand that that's a huge issue. And so this alleviates all of that. And I think the feeling of independence and autonomy is amazing. Do these run 24 hours?
They run 24, 365. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They're always on. You can take a look at the app and see exactly how mom's doing. And if something's amiss, you will know. So if something bad happens, we're going to send that notification to you. So this way you can call up mom. Or we're just going to facilitate that conversation. So here's another scenario. Let's say you have an in-home aide. Let's call her Sally. Sally is going over to mom's house, and then all of a sudden Sally calls you and says, you know what? I think we need more time in the house because I don't think mom is eating as much because she looks like she's losing weight.
Got it.
Now you can literally go back through our system and see exactly over time, what's her average? How many times does she open up that refrigerator? And if you see it trending down, now you know that Sally is, you know, she's honest. She's telling the truth. I trust her. She's absolutely correct. So it's backing up with the in-home aid.
It's check and balance. Yep. It makes so much sense. Ryan, we're going to take another quick break and come right back. Once again, we're talking to Ryan Hurd. We're talking about caregiver smart solutions because he's the smart guy. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on Aging in Place. Once again, we're with Ryan Hurd, and we're talking about caregiver smart solutions, and they are smart. Okay, the natural segue and the natural question is this. How in the world and why in the world, even though I know you're the smart guy and you're a techie, I mean, I think this whole demographic and this aging in place phenomenon, I can say this. The baby boomers are aging. We've got a great transfer of wealth. We've got a lot of folks. And you and I, and me more than you, are in this sandwich generation. Can you share a little bit about how you did get into it? And then let's talk about the CES Las Vegas conference and you winning.
Sure. So my background, as I said before, I'm known as Ryan Hurd, the smart guy. And I've been in technology for 29 years. And I literally wrote the book on smart technology called Join the Smart Home Revolution. So everything is great. And then my father got cancer, not once, but twice.
Okay.
Now he's tough as nails, but being his caregiver, I'm concerned. You know, This is the first time that I'm really concerned on how he's doing. So being the smart guy, I figured I could find something, buy it, put it in, and everything would be fine. And then I realized that in this industry, technology stopped in 1990. Literally, when we talk about assisted living facilities, they still have pull strings and they think that's
the best technology.
So leveraging my background of smart technology, I started to attack this problem saying, you know, why can't I look at an app? Why is it that it's 2020 and I still need a call, a text, or to stop by to see how my loved one's doing? There should be the ability to have an app that can answer my fundamental questions, which is how are they doing? You know, are they moving around? Are they eating? Are they sleeping? Are they sitting in front of the TV? And then, of course, there's the fall. So
brilliant.
That's how I got into it. And I figured I can fix this problem.
So what happens now? You were the number one. You won the CES conference. Talk to us a little bit about not how that happened. After talking with you, it makes sense.
Exciting.
But what were some of the criteria that you think you more than checked the boxes on that you really had?
So we entered what's called the Showstoppers.
Showstoppers.
Competition. Mm-hmm. And we first were named prior of CES. We were named one of the top 10 hottest startups at CES.
Which is how I heard about you.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's how I heard about you. I was just doing a little research and I was like, him.
I got to talk to this one.
I know.
We went from there, and then we had to give another pitch. All 10 companies do. And I got to tell you, there was some stiff competition. There was a great company that was bringing robots. There was another company that was talking about water usage. And it was actually fascinating where it would go on your head in the shower. And literally when you turned on the water, it would go on. But if it didn't sense anybody underneath it, it would go on like 50%. And then when you were under it, it would go on. It was amazing.
They even had
another company that was doing retrofittable smart dials for stove. You know how all of our stoves, the knobs are dumb. Well, you can put this smart knob on, and then through an app, you can tell if it's on, if it's off, all these things. So I really had competition. But at the end of the day, as luck would have it, we did incredible, and we end up winning. So we are named the hottest startup at CES. And then on top of that, the next morning, we found out that we won Techlicious top pick at CES. So we won back-to-back number ones, which were absolutely fabulous. They really,
all right. So here's the real question. Now what?
Now what? Well, we are in the background talking with a lot of nationwide retailers. We are also talking about moving into other countries, because what we found out, we really knew this, but
it's ubiquitous.
With a product like this, the reality is I don't care what your race, religion, creed, where you live. Everybody has somebody that they love and care about, and they want to make sure that they're okay. And when we're talking about the U.S., we've actually got about 100 million people that are 65 and older, and 10,000 people a day turn 65. Now, when you look at it, worldwide population, Japan actually has the most amount of old people with the least amount of young people taking care of them. So that's a huge problem in Japan.
Yeah, that's a real disparity.
Yeah, so it is amazing. So you're going to see some amazing things from us. You know, it's our destiny to fix this problem. And really, I want to reduce as much stress as I can, because I am going through this. I get it. I know what it's like. And we just want to help people out.
It's a very practical approach. I think that's what is intriguing to me, is that you've really taken, again, the universal design principles of that. This is a pretty simple application when you think about it, but it really covers so many aspects of safety in the home. Are there specific places that you put these sensors?
So we do have videos that teach you how to do it. And basically it's...
Are they YouTube videos?
Of course. Peel and stick, put them on the wall. You know, we want to respect our loved ones' architectural details. So we want it to be as non-intrusive as possible. With that said, don't put it behind a door, behind a plant.
Okay.
But we definitely help you with that.
Okay, you do that. I was going to say, how does one get this product, or is it available? And if not, when will it be available?
So this is our third generation product.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
It's going to be coming out the second quarter of this year. It's the most cost effective. It's the smallest. Again, these are tiny, non-obtrusive sensors. They're about the size of a quarter.
How do they mount?
Peel and stick. You literally peel the back and stick it on the wall. So it's nice and simple. Now, if it seems like it's too complicated, we're in the middle of forming a partnership with a nationwide installation company. So this way we'd be able to take care of you. So again, we have some amazing things coming out in the next quarter. So stay tuned.
Did you have any idea when you first started and went to school that this would be the direction that you would take when you were a kid? Now, are your three boys pretty techie too?
They're techie because dad's techie. But a funny story, a side note, is I come from a family of entrepreneurs. My mother is an entrepreneur. My uncles are entrepreneurs. And when I got out of high school, I actually went to culinary arts school. So I got a degree as a chef.
You're a chef? Of course you are.
And I left that and I started an electronics company in 1989.
So talk about reinventing. Oh, I absolutely love this. There you go. Well, I tell you what, I've got a little homework to do now. I'm going to go read up a little bit more about the smart guy. And I really appreciate you taking time today. And is there anything that you can say is on the horizon, a little teaser that we can look forward to soon?
So For Caregiver Smart Solutions, we are trying to answer that fundamental question, which is how are they doing? And at the end of the day, it's the little things that are important. It is the, is your loved one moving around? Is she opening up the fridge? Is she doing all those things, as well as so much more? Now on the horizon, you're going to see some amazing stuff with us. We are going to be partnering with some of the best companies that are out there. You're going to see us expand as far as the granularity and the more information that you can get, because our goal is to really get into your loved one's house as early as possible. Yep. So this way we can fix as many things as possible as they age, and as they age, really give them the ability and give you the ability to help them out and keep their independence for literally as long as we possibly can.
You are absolutely amazing. We want to thank you. We want to thank all of you for joining us. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. This shot is for you. I only take 5 pills a day, so I really don't need a pill box. Every morning, I place my 5 pills in 3 cute little shot glasses, one for morning, one for afternoon, and one for bedtime. At a glance, I can see if I've taken my medications. Of course, keeping them out of the reach of little ones is safety. But since I live alone, I place mine next to my coffee pot. And as I do take my medications, I turn the shot glass upside down. The plastic shot cups makes it handy if you're a caregiver too. Remember how the nurses pass medications out in the hospital? It makes it so much easier for the elderly to take their meds out of a cup than just placing them in their hands. Who knew those glasses have more than one use?
It's pretty amazing to see the direction we're going for aging in place. My takeaway for today is pretty simple. It's all about sensors. Just remember that. It's all about sensors. Again, we want to thank all of you for joining us here on Aging in Place. Have a great week. And thank you, Ryan Hurd.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.